We are going to go to the phones where we are joined by Rebecca Crayer here to talk about National Brain Cancer Awareness Month. Rebecca, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Good morning, Tommy. How are you?
I'm good. It's glad to talk with you. And of course, you know, obviously everybody's attention's focused on COVID-19 and the pandemic running around, but that doesn't mean that there's not lots of other things that are a lot of other health issues out there that we need to continue to be aware of and continue to plague and afflict people. And looking at brain cancer, you know, I think we hear a lot about, you know, like lung cancer, breast cancer, things like that. I don't know that we hear as much about brain cancer.
I think that's quite fair. I did not know that I had a brain tumor until a Friday evening. I was on my couch with my cat. I thought, you know what? I don't feel very good. And I looked at my cat and I said, buddy, I got to lay on the floor. And what happened, I had a seizure. I had a couple seizures in a row, and that was an indication to my body that I needed some help. And I was only 35. And so to have seizures at 35 and then to bring a diagnosis of brain cancer is quite shocking. But the one thing is, out of all of that, even whether it be brain cancer, whether it be any kind of other cancer or COVID, you know, I really had to trust the Lord and depend upon him to show me that he was faithful, because brain cancer is something you can't see. Just like a lot of other diseases, you can't see it, but it's there and it's inside of you. And it can be quite scary having something that's trying to damage you, you know, living inside of you.
Educate me a little bit here, because it seems like certain things, like certain cancers, seem to have some pretty clear indications or something's wrong, you know, if you got lung cancer or persistent cough over time, things like that. But it seems like for a lot of people, brain cancer, like kind of like your situation, it's a kind of a sudden thing, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, something's wrong here.
Yeah, that's true. So brain cancer, and let me be clear, I have lost people I love who have died because cancer has made their way to their brain. That's a little different than having cancer that originates, that starts in the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the type I had. It did not show up in my bloodstream. It just showed up in the left sphere of my brain. And that's right, I had no indications. So there are people I've met through this journey who also have had brain cancer, and their indications came from headaches, and then not just like a headache once in a while, but like migraines. So there can be different triggers. In my situation, there was no notification that something had started to take up space or should not have been taking up space. So those are things to be mindful of. You know, if someone's feeling wrong, dizzy, your eyesight changes, walking, speech, everyday normal functions of the body that just start to not function normally, go see someone. Sit down with your family doctor and say, hey, here's what I have. Let's look at it. Now, the other thing is, I don't want people to listen to this and feel afraid. Like, oh man, I've had a headache every day this last week. We also know it's allergy season.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about you, Tommy, but rain, I mean, the water that comes, it is like rain. When I get outside, there's so much pollen. And
oh my goodness, yes.
It's right. So don't fear, but just be mindful. Just like, you know, washing your hands more often, not touching the door handles if you don't have to. So things like that. If your body starts acting a little funny consistently, go ask someone and then talk it out with them.
Yeah. And I'm with you. The allergies are kicking me. They do every year. And the worst part is you get a cough, and now anymore if you cough, everybody looks at you in total panic and fear. It's like, I don't have the COVID. It's just allergies,
that's
I
great.
Swear. Well, we're talking brain cancer awareness month, and actually, you mentioned you were 35. I had a friend who had a massive brain tumor when he was just in high school.
Yeah.
And had to have major surgery to, like a softball-sized tumor in his brain. So it really is something that can affect any age. Is it, however, more common in certain ages, or is it really something that just kind of randomly hits at any age?
You know, from my understanding, it's not necessarily more common at an age, and also depends on the type of tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So I fall into the category of, I guess, like the middle age range. And so the type that found me, because I did not find that cancer, it found me. It was only 3% of people get this type of cancer.
Mm.
So, but again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just one of those people who now always be considered a cancer patient. For people with brain cancer, we can be put on a cancer-free list, which I am immensely grateful a couple years ago, the day before Thanksgiving, I was put on that list. At the same time, just like any other cancer, it can come back. So I see the doctor regularly. I'm going on 40 MRIs just for the time, since the time of being diagnosed. And that's one of the things about being a patient, I guess forever a patient till you get to meet Jesus. It is going to the doctor, taking your medication, just being mindful of, you know, what things you're watching. Like for myself, I'm not a fan of watching shows or lights that could trigger a seizure. Mm-hmm. I am not epileptic, but my brain has some scar tissue now. Take medication that prevents my brain, or prevents is the word, but, you know, the medication's supposed to slow down any reaction I may have to a seizure. So there are certain things that are helpful, and not only knowing, you know, what your body says, but also help your body by going to the doctor, taking medication, resting. Tommy, I want to say I'm a professional napper now. If there was such a thing, I would win at that. But the couple things I wanted to talk about for people who are supporters, who are supporting someone with cancer, mm-hmm. whether that be brain cancer, any cancer, COVID, one of the things that can be difficult for someone who's not the patient, we look at someone differently when we know that they have cancer. We treat someone differently. And I'm going to specifically talk about myself and other people who I know have gone through this. I didn't really want to talk about having brain cancer when I was diagnosed with it, because I wanted people to remember I'm still their sister, I'm still their friend, I'm still their neighbor, I'm still their coworker. So it was important to me that my life was normal as it could be. Mm-hmm. You know, I did have to have a craniotomy. I had radiation and chemotherapy together, and then I just had chemo by itself. And that process was quite a long time, going from the surgery to the point where I could be cancer-free. And that's a part of, you know, mental health, treating someone the same way you treated them before. Now, of course, be mindful of their situation. Ask them how they're doing. Be helpful. And, Tommy, let me tell you, let's be helpful. I want to give you some good ideas.
Okay.
Take them to the store. Take them to doctor's appointments. Especially if someone who has had a seizure, in the state of Ohio, we're not allowed to drive for 6 months after we've had a seizure. And after I had my craniotomy, I had 27 seizures.
Mm.
So no driving for me at all. So do like a meal train to help take care of their lawn, do laundry, help them clean if they have kids, get the kids out of the house. To a movie, do some coffee, read a book to them. The things that are just little and maybe relevant are things that can make that person stay. I have to say I have some of the world's greatest sisters. They did everything for me. There were days when I couldn't do much. I was taking a lot of medication post that operation. And you would think, you know, things can get back to normal pretty quickly. Well, it took a long time. Mm-hmm. And still today, again, napping is a part of my life. It's a necessity. But that also takes away from doing things that are important. Text your friend who has cancer. Just send them a message every day, or a heart, or a joke, or, you know, something. You know, another thing that could be helpful is pay some of their bills. Pick up an electricity bill for them. Pay for their water bill. Do things that if you can't, you don't have time to fly 100 you know, hours away to care for them, you know, send them a check and tell them to put it towards something they really need. Medication, as we all know, can be expensive. And at one time, I had to take chemotherapy, and that chemotherapy cost more than $40,000 as my copay. I said, I don't have that. That's half my house, you know.
Yeah.
So things that people need, even the little things, and reach out to them and do it. It can mean the world to that person as they're going through treatment, as they're coming out. Even now today, we had a friend who mowed our lawn for us last year. That's great. I mean, immensely helpful.
talking with Rebecca Crayer from here to talk about Brain Cancer Awareness Month. No, I think that's good because, I mean, you know, like you said like 3% of the population is going to get the kind of cancer you have. But, you know, a lot of us are going to be impacted by people who have cancer. And, yeah. and more of us will be probably in a support position, maybe than necessarily a patient position, because we're all going to know somebody who's had cancer. We're all going to know somebody who, of whatever form, and to know how to help in a way that's really helpful, you know, that's good to know. Yeah. Rebecca, is there a hotline or a line that people can call to get information about this?
So I have gotten all of my treatments and by treatment, I do mean neurosurgeon and you have done occupational therapy, I've done art therapy, music therapy, my oncologist, all of that information I get from the James in Columbus, the spine and brain department at the James, which has been really helpful for me. I did do a little treatment here in Lima, but they worked, of course, in conjunction with the James. And I guess, Tommy, the other thing for people who are going to cancer, supporting someone with cancer or just in general, the one thing that really helped me as I was moving through the process of medication and trying to find the new me is I looked for joy every day. I just tried to do something every day that brings joy. And the scripture says, you know, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I think that's one thing that we need right now as a nation. We feel tired. We're tired of being cooped up in the house.
Yes.
We see a lot of, you know, economic situations. Just it's very heavy. And so the scripture talks a lot about joy. And as I was moving through this process years before COVID, I started sitting back and just watching people, not saying anything, enjoying the moment, being quiet and listening to what they're saying. And that for me brought joy because the expressions on their face, the words they were saying helped me individually. I took up coloring. I now own 200 Crayola markers. That's a lot. So I color. I spend time doing things. And it doesn't have to be coloring. I mean, it could be dancing in your kitchen. So that's the thing. The scriptures are very clear about finding joy. And from the get-go, from the very get-go, the very first day I saw the tumor on the screen at the hospital, the doctor was very afraid. And I said, I saw the picture that he was looking at, and I thought to myself, the Lord is not afraid. And if the Lord is not afraid, why should I be afraid? And that is the mentality I took the entire time, going from doctor to doctor, going into the craniotomy, coming out of the craniotomy. And the day of my surgery, I had written Hebrews 11:1 on my hand. And that became the motto of our journey. And of course, Hebrews says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I couldn't see this tumor. I couldn't see this cancer. But I said, you know what? The Lord's not afraid. Why should he be afraid? He is responsible for me. And that's what Hebrews 11:1 did for me. It said, you know what? He's going to do what he seemed the right thing to do. Now, here I am. My sisters and I just celebrated 3 years of having a craniotomy coming in this August. It'll be 4 years since I was diagnosed. A lot has changed, including my hair color, just for everybody who needs a little chuckle. So things have changed, but you know what? The Lord's still responsible for me. I still have faith the Lord is going to do all in my life, despite the fact that my memory is not always good, despite the fact that I need a nap every day, and despite the fact that, who knows, cancer can act, and I'm not worried about that. Again, the Lord is responsible for me, and that's where I am.
Amen.
So I encourage people to find the scripture in times of COVID, in times of cancer, in time of uncertainty, and hold on to that. Hold on to that scripture and put your faith in the Lord and depend on him because we can't do it alone, and he can do it for us and with us.
Amen. That's a good word of encouragement, Rebecca. We appreciate that. And don't worry about it. My memory is not very good, and I need a nap every day, too. So you're not alone in that. Rebecca Crayer joining us for Brain Cancer Awareness Month. Hey, Rebecca, thanks for coming on. Thanks for sharing your story, your encouragement. We're so excited to see how God has delivered you in victory through this. And I hope that was an encouragement to others out there. Thank you so much. God bless, Rebecca.
Thank you.